Recording in progress.
Okay. Mazel tov to Chaya Maltz. Herbie married off, what was it, a granddaughter on Friday. So sign mit Mazel. A comment on Reb Heschel Schechter. He always winds up being a cause of, he said, you know, he does something and it becomes a controversy. You can't believe how many people have contacted me and responded, pro, con. So I just want to tell you a story that I heard when I was a kid. Again, the story's probably told about different individuals. I heard it about Rav Fol Shapiro, that when Rav Fol Shapiro was the son-in-law of Dinitziv, he was the father-in-law of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Brisker, and he was Rosh Yeshiva in Voloshin for quite a while. Then he went into the rabbinate, and then he came back to Voloshin when they reorganized it again, and his children took over. And they say that his Rebbetzin came in to say to him, Reb Rafal, Tutan de Shabbos Kleidib, Machasna Tachta Nachasha. Reb Rafal, put on your Shabbos clothes, we're marrying off a daughter in another hour. And Reb Rafal got up, and he had given a krex, I don't know how to say that in English. How do you say that, Mark? A krex. Oh, he said. And the Talmidim looked at him, and he said, Sa Gidl Banim, that he has to get up and get dressed and go to a wedding, Sa Gidl Banim. So poor Reb Heschel, his wife comes in, and he doesn't pay attention. He's in the middle of the sugi, he's in the middle of dealing with interrupting in Tfilar, I think it was, and here she's interrupting the Shia. So it's a homach like a paiskim. My wife said that she would not have interrupted me. She would have waited till the shiur is over. I said I would respond, of course, differently. I would have jumped up with joy. But I have to say what Reb Heschel did is fabulous for YU. Because now every YU fella can go around telling the fellas in Lakewood and in Chaim Berlin and Teira Vidas, no yeshiva like YU. Our Rosh Yeshivas are reingelenkt in learning. They're so involved and engrossed in learning that even when they're told they have a grandchild, it doesn't move them till they finish the shiur, they don't respond. And boy, let me see one other yeshiva that can claim their Rosh Yeshivas are on that level. So I think Reb Heschel did YU a great favor. Have it, understand it as you wish. But I think it's a very beautiful, and that's Reb Heschel. He's entirely Torah, kulo Torah. He was like that as a kid, I can tell you. And Allah had come and become today, he is Reb Heschel Shechta. Okay, I want to mention to Rabbi Grinstein, he sent me an interesting story from the Ruchim Derelik, and it brought back memories of the Bronx, that when the Bronx changed radically, and he wanted to sell the Beit Miriam building. He built the Beit Miriam there, Beit Yaakov. He built Zichron Moshe, a yeshiva for boys. And he wanted to sell it for school, and he knew the Board of Education could juice it, but you need influence. So he called Rav Scherer, Rav Meisher Scherer, and within a day already, Professor, these are names I knew, Professor Lachman, who was involved from Jew with the Board of Education, Sima Lachman. And soon enough, the government took it over, and they were able to reinvest the money elsewhere for the sake of Torah. Now, I just quickly want to mention to Jack, because tomorrow we're not going to deal with the Satma, but Jack is very troubled by the Satma's viewpoints at times, and he questions, is the man stable, etc.? So you see, Jack, I have to tell you, if you question the Satmar, you have to question the Belzer Rebbe, you have to question the Munkacha, you have to question Reb Sholem Dovber, the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I have to tell you, you have to understand them. Plain and simple, can any good come out of Mechallel Shabbos, Heuchling, Avelet, and Treifot? Look who Herzl was. At one point he said, we all have to march to the church. That's before Dreyfus. Max Nordau, who was his assistant, married to a Goya, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, from these people, good could come out? I mean, just try to understand their point of view. I guarantee you a year from now, you'll be much happier, because a guy named Rakefet will so refute their position that I can't believe there'll be one Jew left in the world who is not a religious Zionist who cares about Torah. But that's for them. Now we have to understand them, and they're absolutely correct. Agoya noisvav, ahun takelav. Married to a shiksa. Out of that can come something good, that we should sit in Jerusalem today. You from Toronto? Me, third generation American from the Bronx? What? Impossible. That's what you would have said 150 years ago. Remember, you come from a fine family. If I recall, Reb David Lifshitz traveled all the way up to Toronto for your wedding. And you're going to be a Zionist? You're going to follow Herzl Nordau? All right, David Wolfson was a Shema Mitzvot. Yeshiskin was a Shema Mitzvot. David Wolfson once met, I told this story years ago when I spoke about Zionism in the context questions students asked me. So David Wolfson one time met Herzl in a cafe on Shabbos, and he brought along his nephew. And they're sitting there, and Herzl takes out a pipe, whatever he smoked, and he starts smoking on Shabbos. On Sunday, Wolfson told them, my nephew will never be a Zionist. He's a very religious kid, and he saw you smoke on Shabbos. And Herzl said, had you warned me in advance, I wouldn't have spoke. Okay, that's to answer your question, but that's only one answer. I'll come back to your other question in a second. I want to mention that my dear student, Rabbi Moshe Wiener, wrote a long response against my shayurim, permitting shaving, quoting Rabbi Menashe Klein, quoting Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And he refutes me point by point. The only problem is, he says he's refuting his Rebbe, and Rabbi Rakefet, etc., but it's not me. I'm quoting Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. But, and you know, the Rambam, Potter, Avalasar, and Reb Moshe's interpretation. And yes, I mentioned the Keset Mishnah may be against Reb Moshe. I mentioned that Bishat Maisa. But I want to say that Rabbi Moshe Wiener, in his campaign that we should all have beards, which I don't object to if it keeps people from, as I said, most of my grandsons have beards, some Zankinson. But you got to understand, I'm in a time warp. And because of his critique of my shayurim, I started thinking, and I have to tell you, I never had a Rebbe who didn't shave. Beginning with 7th grade, the Shanghai crowd, Rabbi Yankelevich, clean-shaven. Rabbi Hanach Fishman had a little spitzbud, a few hairs here, clean-shaven. My first Rebbe in YU, Reb Michal Katz, Zichronim Tzaddikim Lebracha, each one was fabulous. I write about each one in Washington. Reb Michal Katz, I had 2 years, clean shaven. Reb Yosef Weiss, a little beard here, like a yekka, clean shaven. Reb Noach Bornstein, the Brisker Rebbe's greatest Talmud, clean shaven, totally. Reb Shmuel Lezer Volk, that tells the Eloi, a little spitz here, clean shaven. Mori Rebbe Hamufak, Reb Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, a spitz but a little longer, clean shaven. And I remember before Pesach, Eric Zimmer, Yitzchak Zimmer, who could dream that these kids sitting before the Rebbe went on to become world famous people? Professor Zimmer from Bar Ilan says, Rebbe, can we shave on Chol HaMoed? And the Rav said, I want to know about your practices, your daily practices. Do you shave every day? He says, yes. So what's the shaila? What are you, an avelet in Chol HaMoed? Are you a slob? And boy, we all shaved Chol HaMoed without, and that's the Rav answering, without the lumdus of Rav Moshe and all the Behud and all that's been written, and etc., etc. So anyone who wants to see the refute of Aaron Rakefet, quoting Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, contact Rabbi Moshe Wiener, and he will send it on to you. And I'm proud of him, because generally people send me comments, don't make it public. Here he says, Rabbi Wiener asked this question, be treated as a public message. Now, I want to come back here. We're dealing here with a very delicate problem, a problem that haunts us at this very moment, and today's shiur is going to leave you thinking. What I have to quote, the Rambam, you're going to see that there's no easy solution to this question. It's not black and white. It's not a question of I want to be machmer, I want to be mekil. It's a question, the very concept of geirut. Now, we mentioned there have been many cases already where they permit kohanim to marry geirut, to remarry gerushot, and all these cases, they create sveikot. And like I mentioned, Reuven Feinstein said, if her mother went to university, then she couldn't have married a kohen, the kiddush halal, chalashim, zomer, etc. So I have to say, all these cases you have to add, and I've mentioned this and I want to stress it again, it turns into shnei sifim or sveik sveika, call it as you wish, because it's not just the chalashim zona that you're worried about. You also mitzad the kohen, who is becheskat kahuna today? How do we know where kahanim? Now, there are exceptions to the rule. Someone wrote to me, and I've heard this, that there are some kohanim, particularly in the Sephardic world, who can trace themselves back to Ezra HaKohen. All right, if you are becheskat kohen, it's much harder for a posek lahakel. But generally speaking, you know, Rabbi Moshe had the question, Rabbi Riskin quotes this, and how do you know you're a kohen? His grandmother, who was totally irreligious, mentioned to him she believes her son-in-law was a kohen, her husband was a kohen, her son was a kohen. All right, that doesn't really satisfy the requirement. You know you're a kohen. It's a shmuel bi'alma who's telling it to you. What type of ne'emanit is there? It's an interesting question. The question becomes much more compound, as we'll see, either later today or after Pesach, when you go to the cemetery and on the monument of your great-grandfather, you see two hands split like a kohen, birchat kahanim. That already, and that's the father of your grandfather, father of your father, and you. This already is a very, very difficult question, because there already there's a chazaka, meitzich lefitumoy would describe it, that there is a cheskat kohen. Okay, but that always comes into the configuration. Now, with the parsha that I mentioned that shook up Israel, remember last week we did Reb Moshe, and Reb Moshe, again, these questions are part of modern life, 100%. You can't escape them, because as I said, the kahuna today, really, if you're not from, you don't even know you're a kohen. You don't know what a kohen is. It's very sad. I told you about the Rav in Courage. I have it in the Rav. When he asked the Chatan, are you a kohen, Levi Yisrael? And the Rav said, it's like I could have asked him something about outer space. You know, he just looked at the Rav, didn't know what he was talking about. And remember, he's getting married in Boston, and it's an Orthodox rabbi. It's maybe his parents brought the rabbi, his grandparents. But no one knows they're a kohen. But this problem comes up, I need not tell you. Now, the Melamed Lahohil, Reb David Zvi Hoffman, in that case, he was matir, and I showed you the Rambam. It should be without the Chuppah Kedushin. That way it's a Nisha, but it's not Chayav Malkot. On that Rambam, a lot has been written. Not all agree with the Rambam. Where did he get it from? Look at the Raibid there and look at the Nosei Kalim. But that's the Rambam. And when you have a Rambam, I need not tell you, you have a very strong sniff for your psak. Reb Moshe dismissed the Melamed Lahoil and didn't even say to Reb David, bring me a Melamed Lahoil to look like. Look at it, can't be. And you'll see the Rav dismisses him too in the similar fashion. The Helen Zeidman story, so my nephew, here's the way he looked it up, and he got all the details. He looked it up, my nephew, Dr. Zev Rothkoff, he looked it up in Hebrew, Parshat Helen Zeidman. And there's a whole entry in the Wikipedia, And my memory was correct. It's 1970. Rav Goren was in the army. At that time, the problem of the Langer children that I've lectured on extensively was starting up. The brother and sister, so where they suspected them of mamzerut, and they want to get married to Jews. They want to get married kedat v'kedin. They don't want to run away to Cyprus. They want a halachic wedding. They were very smart because they knew they don't want their kids to have a problem. Be interesting to know 50 years later if both marriages worked out. And the Langer case was the Langer case. Rav Goren was Mekel. I have to tell you, in relation to the Langer case, it pains me until today that people didn't accept his psak. It is absolutely 100% solid. When we see later what Rav Moshe was matir in Mamzeret and what Rav Ovadia was matir in Mamzeret, it makes Rav Goren's hetter look mild by comparison. And that hurts, that politics got involved, as one so-called posek said, Tzvei Kinder, Machalalei Shabbos, to be matir for two kids who are not from, I have to give up Olam Haba, and that's a terrible attitude. All Jews are Jews, and you don't know what's going to come out of these two kids. I've taught students whose parents couldn't read Hebrew, and the kids went on to become Gedolei Yisrael in the full sense of the word. So, yeah, I have to, a Jew is a Jew. Okay. The Zeidman case happened at the same time. And there already Rav Goren was on much slimmer ground. And the case was the lady came and she was a non-Jew, but she had a spiritual sense. And she visited Israel 64. I believe she was a Baptist. And she fell in love with the Holy Land. And she lived here and she went to an irreligious kibbutz. They welcome everyone. And she falls in love with a guy from the kibbutz. And they get married. And she goes through a conversion in Tel Aviv with a Reform rabbi. And then she applies for citizenship to be recognized as a Jew. And here you have the Supreme Court. Again, I can't go into all the detail. I've spoken about all these cases in great detail. You have the Shalit case a few years earlier, where the Supreme Court ruled that the concept of a Jew has nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with Torah. It has to do what people on the street think. And if we're going to hold a survey and go into Machne Yehuda, everyone loves Machne Yehuda for surveys. Last Wednesday, you should know, I was... caught it the first time in 53 years living here that I literally, I mean, I've been in the army, I fought in wars, I've been in areas where there are terrorist attacks. Wednesday morning was right there, mamish, right there. I saw them lift the stretcher with the Arab they shot into the, The ambulance. I start hunting for that word. What's the word in Hebrew? Is there a word in Hebrew for ambulance? Or do we use ambulance? What word?
I'm not sure.
Not sure. All right. I saw it into the ambulance. I couldn't believe all the police and all the Mishmar HaGvul and the police on horses. And you should have seen the Israelis taking, everyone lining up to take a picture of the police on horses. It affected me in one sense. There was no transportation. Everything was closed down. They had to check in the whole area. There were no machablim, and I had other stops to make. I did more walking than I did on any day since my legs gave out on me, how many years ago? 8 years ago. Anyway, coming back here, if you would have asked the crowd in Machne Yehuda, who is a Jew? So some people said a Jew. What the rabbis say is a Jew is a Jew. Other people would say a Jew. He lives in Israel. He speaks Hebrew. He pays taxes. He's a Jew. And that's what the Supreme Court ruled. So this lady, with these people, Meretz, and the whole group, the Malshinim, went to court and they prepared a whole case citing the earlier Shalit case that a Judaism is dependent upon what people think. It's not a halachic concept. That was the Shalit ruling. And if that's the case, She lives in a kibbutz. She speaks Hebrew. She gave up America to come and live in Israel. She's a Jew. So Rav Gorin got involved and he converted her. It was also compounded by the fact that she was marrying a Kohen. And this is where Rav Gorin cited the Melamed Lahoil and La Yehuda Maitar Rova Simcha. And that's where the opposition begins to Rav Gorin. They were Choshish. I spoke with Rav Aaron, I call him Aaron, I apologize, but we were friends, we grew up together, we were kids, we wouldn't the Rabbanim yet. And so I spoke with the babe, I should say, that's what we used to call him. I spoke with Rav Aaron, and I said, Rav Aaron, why are they so opposed to Rav Gorin? With the Langer case, he's right. With the Zeidman case, he has the Malamed Lahoil, all right? It's controversial. So Rav Aaron said, he said, you're right, but they feel he's a train that's lost its brakes, that he's already heading, he'll be matter everything. That's what they're chayshish. And there was a lot of opposition to him, and the rest is history. Now, I want to thank, as I recall, David, Rabbi Dr. Twesky, the Talna Einikel, he came up with from a daily bulletin, JTA, Jewish Telegraphic Association, I think.
Agency.
What's it called? Agency? Okay. JTA. Helen Zeidman dead at 50. So she didn't have a Richa Jum in 1980. She died. It's a long time ago. And here they, Helen Zeidman, an American-born Israeli immigrant who's battled 10 years ago to be recognized as a Jew, after she was converted by a Reform rabbi, rocked the religious establishment in Israel and almost caused a major crisis in the government of Golda Meir, died Saturday of a stroke at the age of 50. She was a Unitarian. Here's the whole... All right, you can see the article. What's also interesting, someone came up from an auction house. Howard Mizell, Tzvi Mizell, my student, I couldn't believe what you can come up with online. This was an announcement from 1970. If Jack wants to photograph it, let me hold it up. I don't know how this works, but there's some Zayn Gesund. It's a photograph what would you call when you write a letter and not ready, you know, writing a form, you're getting it ready. What's the word you would use? A draft, right. A draft of a letter, and it's in Hebrew, and here it is, Mikav Lev, and you don't want to read the whole thing, that the Torah is being desecrated, and we can't depend upon this psak. Hakotev Bitsa Elazar Menachemman Shach. That's Rav Shach. And right underneath, the stipler signed on, Yaakov Yisrael Kenevsky. Now, for some reason, this never was publicized. In other words, it was a draft, but there must have been political reasons or considerations. They didn't go further. It remained a draft. So that's the Zeidman case, and Ein Hachinami, it caused a tremendous storm, and essentially what I said briefly last week was correct. Now we come to the Mishnah Halachot, and this, you're going to see what happens here. The conclusions are unbelievable, and he's totally machmir. It's Chelek Yud Bet, Siman Kuf Tzadi Bet. The trip is from 1986, and it's literally, if you want a portrait of what has happened in the modern world, what can happen, it's all in this trip. And he's writing to someone, a Choshev Rav, or someone who's written Sfarim. He just gives his Moreinu Harav Rev Shin Tuf. You don't know what the exact name is. Someone probably can figure it out from the period, 1986. And he says, you brought to me this interesting Shaila. of a Kohen who's married civilly to a convert. And now they've come closer to Torah, and he has become a Shema Torah and Mitzvot B'chol Prateha, and even he is interested in, even she, I'm talking two languages, even she is interested in religion, Ulai Yoter Mimenu. And this I have seen many times, where a religious person marries an irreligious person, and later they discover Torah, and the irreligious person becomes even more frum than the religious person. I know a case like that. I taught actually almost all their children. It was very moving to meet them. And this lady was a teacher, came from a typical second generation, she was second generation or third generation American, a typical Jewish home, maybe sort of like the home I came from, except my home probably was better because it certainly was kosher, etc. And this fellow from a Shomer Shabbos family, his sitting shiver's father died. And I think they were teaching together. They knew each other from the school. And the lady came Lenachem Avel. And his mother fell in love with this lady. And she said, "You're going to marry her." He married her. She became a tzaddikin. That much I can tell you. They beautiful, wonderful children. One lives here, the rest are in the States, but all Shema Torah and Mitzvah. And you can understand this. I know more cases like this where someone, even a convert, becomes 100 times more frum than the man. And they now turn to Rabbi Menashe Klein, and what bothers them is now that they're trying to become totally frum, he knows he's a Kohen. She's a convert. It's Asa. That's one part of the question. And what about the children? Are they Halalim? What's their status? They have children. And here, you're not going to believe what you're going to hear now, but it's right here. Right here, page 89, second column at the bottom. He comes from a well-known Haredi family. There's no doubt that he's Becheskat Kohen, to as much as one can be Becheskat Kohen Bisman Hazeh. Oh, you ask yourself, a well-known Haredi family. Well, let's start making a list of so many people. Mechalalei Shabbos, Ochlei Nevelot, and Treifot. From well-known Haredi families. Watch the, I'm anxious to see the new chapter of Odni Pagesh from the Israeli television that my daughter sends me the links to. Here, you see with your own eyes. The mother seeking the son. The mother seeking the daughter. Haredi families 100%. And the kids throw it all away. Between the parentheses, and I hope to hit upon this tomorrow, what breaks the heart is, as a YU graduate, a Talmud of the Rav, so much of this could have been avoided. You don't put someone into a straitjacket. If a kid tells you, "I want to be a medical doctor," encourage him. Be proud of him. There's so many medical doctors in Israel who are Shema Torah and Mitzvot. Don't call them an Oisvaf. You know that Gera Chassid, who got his medical degree with my grandson, the Technion. All right. It's a credit to his parents that they made their peace with the fact he wanted to be a medical doctor. And to his wife, she married a kolel younger man who was a nilui. And she had to make her peace with it too. All right, not everyone can be a rav. Not everyone. I always say, if to be a Rebbe, you have to love every youngster. Not everyone is on that level that they can love everyone. I've told you, don't look at me today. Today, all my Talmidim are tzaddikim. You understand, people are staying up in America to hear the shiur. Look what's on the screen. And these are tzaddikim. You people sitting here, tzaddikim. Tomorrow we're going to have a crowd of tzaddikim. But I had Talmidim when I taught on a lower level. I had Talmidim murderers, gangsters, etc. All right, but I love them. What can I do? They're human beings. They have a soul. You have to ignite that soul. That's the challenge. But could you imagine? But that's only part of it. Listen to this. This is all right from Borough Park, from Brooklyn. All right, the kid went off the path, and he went way off the path, married a Goya. But take a look what's happening. But that's only part of it. That the children are learning in yeshiva. Could you imagine the kids are accepted in yeshiva? Are they Jewish? They're not even Jewish. The mother's not Jewish. V'echad kvar lomed b'yeshiva. Look what Rav Menashe Klein saying about him. V'hu matmid gadol. Could you imagine the kid is learning in yeshiva? For whom matmid gadol af mir gesagt. You understand? Halavai and Adam Gadol would say that about me. Learning matmid gadol. So, he's not even Jewish. Now, evidently, the children who were males, I think there are two male children here, it doesn't spell it out, but there could be more, evidently had Brit Mila. So, Rav Menashe Klein says, we've already discussed it, the Hatafat Amrit you can do if you wish, but if you don't do it, it's also okay, according to Rav Menashe Klein. And he says, they need tefillah with a beitin kasher. And here what's probably happened, again, it's not spelled out, but you'll see in a minute there is some reference to it, that they evidently had she evidently went through a reform conversion. Now, you have to understand, this is a very delicate involved shayla. I actually had the shayla lachla maisa, and I spoke with the Rav about it, and I corresponded. He wrote me a letter. Rav Heschel Schachter quotes the letter, but he doesn't quote that what the incident was. When you read the letter, it doesn't have the same impact that he said. This was a shayla. My chaver asked the Rav, etc. This was the case. I had a case where the kid had a conservative conversion. And you see that in 60 years ago, a shayla like that was really a shayla because it was a different conservative movement. And you had conservative rabbis with Shomer Shabbos. It was a real problem. Where do you draw the line that they weren't totally frum in the sense of theology? Goes without saying they were conservative rabbis. On the end of Halacha L'maaseh, they were Shomer Mitzvah. There was very little difference in their own observance compared to a so-called Orthodox rabbi. So I had that shayla with the Rav, and the Rav, his advice was not to get involved with machlokes. In other words, find a way out that could soothe everything over. It's not so simple. What do? You want to take the kid at least to mikveh with a beit din. You don't want to wait till he's getting married and tell him to go to mikveh with a beit din. But it's a very delicate shayla. When there's a today, that shayla doesn't exist. And when there's a reform conversion, there's certainly nothing to talk about. Now, these kids evidently had a reform conversion. The wife had a reform conversion, and the kids, it means that before they were born, when he got married, now there's that much. You know, you have to look at the mentality of a Gentile woman, which is important too. And this turns up in novels and growing up in a mixed neighborhood, Italian, Irish, Catholic, Jewish. I know a little bit of the mentality. For an Italian girl to marry a Jewish boy, it was fabulous. Why? First of all, the Italians had similar family values. The mafia had great respect for women. They'd shoot you at night, but they had great respect for women. And you didn't start up with them. They had family values. These were like Jewish values. So you're marrying a Jewish boy, and the Jews were famous for their brains. So many Italian families were overjoyed. The daughter's marrying up in life. The Irish, it's more than that. Irishmen, liquor, Irish liquor, whiskey, drinking, drunk. I heard two women talking on the bus. Sometimes you overhear conversations. And on a bus in the Bronx, one was Irish, one was Italian. And the Irish woman says to them, they were only friends from high school. And I eavesdropped, and the Irish woman says to the Italian woman, I envy you. And they were talking, what were they talking about? They're both married to nice men, except the Irish guy, when he gets drunk, he beats up. So you marry a Jewish man, Jews don't drink. Jews, we're not Irish. We don't walk around beating our wives, generally speaking. She was happy to marry this kid from Borough Park who went off the path. So she converted, a reform conversion. But you see, later in life, you never know when the spiritual question opens up. And this is my great protest, and I've said this so many times. I had one, I don't want to give any details, one student declared a mamza. His mother was married in a country where tradition is valued. And when it came time to get a divorce, there was a battle over the divorce. She didn't get a divorce. She told the guy, go fly a kite. And she then remarries, and a Reformed rabbi says, I'll marry you without a get. That Reformed rabbi should be arrested, and the key should be thrown away. Why? Because many years later, the kid she has with her second husband, both the husband and the kid become Torah Jews, and now the mother had remarried, and they could not. I want to tell you, I visited the country, and I said, give me the case. I'm not an emeritus in that field. I don't know much, but in the areas of Mamzeret, Aguna, there's not much you can tell me you don't know. All right? I'm not an emeritus. Give me the case. This is years ago, decades ago. And they said, with all due respects, Rabbi Dr. Rakefet, the greatest Goyim have dealt with it, they can't find a heter. And you should know, he remained a mamza, he never married. It breaks my heart. There's no youngster today. And that Reform rabbi, criminal. Mamish a criminal. You never know, don't leave a person in a position that if their spirituality wakes up, that they're going to be crippled. It's exactly what he did. So this woman was happy to have a Reform conversion. But then he says, a Reform conversion? What good is it? And he uses the word, with the Reform, there's no Kabbalat mitzvah. It's a ceremonia. Rav Gerelich used to use that word, used to go crazy. A ceremonia, vaskei don, you know, the American rabbis, you have to raise your hands, bless the congregation, bless the bar mitzvah boy, the bar mitzvah girl. Oh, he used to go, Orthodox rabbis I'm talking about. A ceremonia, that's nicht Jiddishkeit, it's not Judaism, it's a ceremony. All right, but ceremony today, ceremony tomorrow, he's absolutely right. There's no Kabbalat mitzvah. So the kid has to have a conversion, a proper conversion, meaning to go to mikvah with the beitin and be tovel, and he probably can make a bracha, because what was before was not really, it's no more than a ceremony void of halachic context. But then he goes on, he doesn't believe the kid should be called up to the Torah with his father's name. See, here you get involved in another very delicate problem. Mark, a kid comes into Boston from, I don't know, Southfield, Michigan. And no one knows him in Boston. A kid comes into Chicago from Boston. Then you call him up in the Torah. Avraham Avinu, Ben Avraham, Avraham Avinu, you know, it's embarrassing. Well, let him use his father's name. His father converted. He was born before the conversion. They're both converts, let's say. So here, a lot has been written on this. And I'll tell you something else. When you deal with a Kohen, you use your father's name here. The kid winds up, they think he's a kohen. He's not a kohen. He's a convert. He's not a halal because he's born from a non-Jewish woman. But he's not a kohen. He's nothing. He's just a regular Jew, today, a convert. But he was born at the time he was born. He was a guy. The mother was a guy. He's a guy. And so he suggests that you can't use the father's name. He says, "Ani chokech b'zeh, I'm in doubt to do it." And I can understand. It's a very brief trivia. He doesn't give many sources. But you can create real problems. But it can be embarrassing. There was a kid, the Shaila comes up, I believe it's in Reb Moshe, I saw it, a kid born from artificial insemination. And the father's a Levi. And who knows what the kid is. The artificial sperms, we hope, are not from Jews. We create other problems. But in America, Reb Moshe's Matir. But how do you call that? And then the father's embarrassed. If the kid is born from AID, no one knows it's not the father's son. So how do you call him up to the Torah? And what do you do with Halevi? What do you do if the father's a Kohen? These are delicate problems. Now, I know someone, he's no longer alive, Lolein, he was killed in a terrorist attack. Hashem, you come to mind, I don't mention his name in this context, a great person. And he was adopted. And he's a Levi. So I asked him, how do you know? I mean, he was a Talmud Chacham, he had smicha, and he had other degrees. He was a terrific individual. And I asked him, how do you know you're a Levi? So he told me that it was a Jewish adoption agency. I don't think that exists anymore. I'm pretty sure it doesn't. This goes back, would be over 60 years today, aren't the 70 years if he were alive. And there, they would tell you, this kid's father was a kohen, this kid's father was a lady. You could believe them. They had Orthodox supervision, an adoption agency. He said, my father and my parents went out of the way to adopt someone who the father was a Levi. And there were three adoptions in the family. One, they give you a perfect child. The other one already with problems. The third one already physical problems. But one and three worked out. Number two disappeared, unhappy, mad at his parents. Okay, it's quite a story, but this is a delicate question. Imagine it's your son, you're a Levi, no one knows it's AID, no one knows you have problems with your sperm count, and the kid is called up to the Torah, they don't mention Levi. All right. So he paskins number one. He doesn't say black and white, but ani chokech. I would prefer he not be called up by his father's name. Then he comes to something that leaves me thinking. Oh, tzarich ladat shehaben lo yah lekohen. Fine, it's not a kohen. We know that. But what? Look what comes next. The lo yalel ishum sraraz shel tziba. He can't have any communal status where he's a big shot. This, I don't have to tell you much has been written on this. Melech velo malka, the Rambam, Hilchit Malachim. It can't be a woman. No. What communal status can he have? Natan, what did we say a minute ago? That he's learning in a yeshiva and he's a fabulous Talmud Chacham. Well, you can't believe your eyes. He says, L'shum sfaras shel tziba lihiyot rosh yeshiva ukiyot se bezeh. D'mikarev avchecha k'tim v'hai lo mikarev avchecha. Oh my gosh, a Rosh Yeshiva, Srara, gentlemen, Srara, do I have, what am I, a king? A lord? I ask you, I work so hard preparing my shirim. Does anyone honor me, thank me? Ah, cut it out. Look where I'm sitting. Look at the room. Shrara? Mark, what do you say? Rosh Yeshiva Shrara? And imagine if I'd be a real Rosh Yeshiva, like all the office I had over the decades. You gotta raise money. You gotta run the yeshiva. You gotta... Reb Aaron Cutler was the tragedy of America. He had to run pleading for $5 bills. You know the famous story with Reb Aaron, the driver. They go up, this man. Reb Aaron gives him a face, a check for $5. So when they come downstairs, the driver is Talmud says, Rebbe, why do you have to suffer such bizyonis? You know, Reb Aaron answered him. You ever saw Reb Aaron give a shiur? He would get hot and shout. And, he says, sometimes when a Rosh Yeshiva gives a shiur, he gets carried away. A Talmud asks something, he shouts him down and he insults him. Because the Rosh Yeshiva insults his Talmidim, he has to have these bizyonis. It's minas shamayim. That was Reb Aaron's answer. But I have to tell you, my concept of a Rosh Yeshiva, I wouldn't put that in the concept of Shrara. I disagree with Reb Menashe Klein. I'm entitled to disagree on that level. Shrara, I don't know, be a Shaila, can you elect him president of a synagogue? Can you elect him to the Knesset? Can you appoint a Messab and Memshelet Yisrael? That's interesting questions. Can you elect him president of Israel? When the president goes to a formal affair, no, have you ever seen? Motorcycle cops go before him with the flag of Israel on the motorcycle. That's Shrara, perhaps. Rabbi Jacobowitz becomes a lord. Asar b'memshelet Yisrael, a lord in the queen's empire, Shrara. That's Shrara, perhaps, I don't know, I throw it open. But could you imagine, Shlomo, you can quote Reb Menashe Klein, that kid, Machon Lev, who's learning around the clock, and goes on to Mechaz Arav and becomes a Rosh Yeshiva, and then he finds out that his mother converted after he was born. Shrara, Achecha, and not a guy, Melech, V'lo Malka, etc. Unbelievable. Could you imagine? Do you see what's happening here? Now you have a quiz. Imagine a kid is applying to Machon Lev and he wants to go into an advanced shiur, and you want to see if the kid knows how to learn. You say to the kid, give me an example where someone can be a Gaon Adi and everyone loves him and he cannot become a Rosh Yeshiva because of a halachic impediment. And the kid will say, oh, that's the shiur Rav Rakefet gave on that day that I heard it in YU Torah, quoting Reb Menashe Klein. But that's not it. I tell you, I shake when you see this chuff of what happens in life. But we're not finished yet. And he says, the second son who was born after the Reform Geirut ceremony, he also needs a proper Geirut, and he's a total ger. The Reform ceremony has nothing to do with it. But so you have two boys evidently in the chuff. Halacha l'maisa, they both need Geirut. But then he goes further. What about the woman? And she wants to convert. And she wants to do it properly. But he quotes the Gemara in Bechorot that if she's going to marry a Kohen, how can she convert? They're going to be living in sin. He quotes the Shulchan Aruch. I'll quote it to you in a few minutes. I want to finish the Tshuva of Menashe Klein. How can she convert? They're going to be living in sin. And as the Gemara says in Bukhara, the Gemara that Rav Moshe Feinstein quoted, that even if a convert says there's just one little part of Judaism I can't accept, one little part, everything else makes sense, but one concept doesn't. Conversion cannot be done. It is not chal. And he says, listen to this. So what do you have here? You're going to have two yeshiva boys in the house. You're going to have a father who's gone back to his Haredi roots. But who's doing the cooking? The mother. Who had a reform conversion? She's a Goya. Natan, you're in this house. Friday night, the father opens a bottle of wine to make Kiddush. The mother touches it. Stam yenum. Spilled the wine out. The mother cooks. Bishul akum. Spilled the food out. He says it openly. He says it openly. And he says, this man has a terrible sin. He's living with a goy. No, when you live with a goy, what's the halacha? Kanaim poginbo. Pashit Pinchas. Oh my gosh. And if you'll say, but wait a minute. The whole concept of Geirut b'di'evet, even if someone converts, we're going to talk about this, for ulterior motives. They want the fame. They want the fortune. They want the Jewish man. Even if they convert for the sake of ulterior motives, let me not always put the women down. I once had this in my first shtetl in Lower Merion synagogue. Don't ask. The man wants Marilyn Monroe. Right? He didn't know when I had that. Here I am, a young rabbi, 23 years of age. Boy, if I'd been that rabbi today, I would conquer them. But today I have more cycle who wants to waste time conquering them. I want to give shirim. But I gave a drasha, I'll never forget, Pashat Mishpatim. And I quoted Rav Lesson, the Mashgiach, and that, what does it mean in there that if we can have children with a Shifcha Kananit? Good Shaila, how do you permit such a thing? She's not totally Jewish. But it shows you what a degradation it is that a man should rob, steal, that they have to sell him as an Eved Ivri. It says to him, you already can have relations with a Shifcha Kananit. And in back of the shul, a guy yells out aloud, Rabbi! She looked like Marilyn Monroe, and the place went berserk. That was a Shabbat. You should know, I never preached again. That's when I reached the... I don't know how I was so smart. I said, the pulpit belongs to the rabbi, but you know, I'm not going to preach. You people don't listen. I'm going to teach. And the next thing I announced was a six-part series on the Tshuvat of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Do you know that the original minyan was 30 people? By the sixth lecture, there were over 100 people. They walked in from Winfield. They came from across the border of Philadelphia to the main line. Wow. Then I did Profiles in Courage. I still have these lectures. It's all been integrated on a much higher level to what I've done in the Kollel. But Profiles in Courage, great rep on him. But good. All right, the man wants to marry Marilyn Monroe. B'di'evet, the Geirut is chal. So Rav Menashe Klein says, yes, but there's one difference. They didn't reject anything. They said, we'll accept Torah as much as we can. They didn't reject anything. Here, ipso facto, she is converting, but she's going to live with a Kohen. I have to tell you, he doesn't end off the tshuva. Could you imagine what happens? She can't cook. she can't touch the wine. About all the woman who converted can do is sweep the floors and clean up for Pesach. All right, a very, very delicate question. The Malamed Lahoil would not agree. But this is the Reb Menashe Klein. This is Reb Meishan. Now let me show you the halacha. And it's worth checking this out. Not the Shulchan Aruch, you can just listen. The Rambam, you have to see with your own eyes. Yoredeya, Siman Resh Samchet, Halacha Yudbet. And this is the Pesach. It's all based upon the Gemaras. It's two Gemaras in Yevamot. One is Chavtalid, etc. One is Memvav, Memzayin, Chavtalid, Chavgimel, perhaps. That, two sukkahs. I did it in great detail 30 plus years ago when I spent a year and a half on Geirat. But I just want to show you the halacha. Kishe yavo hagel hitkayeh botkim acharav shemeh beglal mamin o beshvil srara, and you got to be sure he really wants, he or she, but we'll use he, that's the way English was until modern times. In he got to be sure he's not converting. The lady is wealthy, he marries her, he's married to a billionaire. Or the lady is princess, he marries her, becomes a duke. Or mipnei hapachad, that he's frightened stiff, the Jews are powerful, and if you don't convert, who knows if you won't be killed, and you want to convert, then, you know, the Shlomo HaMelech, power, David HaMelech, power. And if you find that their intentions are pure, and then you know, you try to push them away, Modiyam al kam kovet kovet shel Torah v'toreach sheshbi asiyato. Do everything to be sure they're sincere. You know, you say to them, look, if you're and I've said this, in the Rabbinate I had questions of conversion. So I would say, look, if you do the seven Ben Noah commandments, you're a good human being. You have the same share in the world to come as a Jew. I quoted the Pirkei Reb Eliezer, I think it's Perek Lamed Aleph. You try to scare them away, and you know, we also add the anti-Semitism, what a Jew goes through. Look at the Gemara in Yevamot. Why do you want to be part of the Jewish people after Hitler? But if they still insist, then we teach them some of the mitzvot, we convert them, and now they are Jewish. Now, what do we mean, now they are Jewish? Look into the halacha, look at these words. Chayshishim lo ad shetit barea tzidkato. These are the most amorphous words I think you have in Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. What is the Shulchan Aruch paskening here? You went through everything. You spoke with him. You taught him. You tried to frighten him, to scare him away. And then you say, yes, he's a convert. And you wait ad shetit baret sitkato. What does that mean? What does that mean? 10 years later, you check. Is he observant? Not observant? Not observant, you say he's a goy. If he's observant, you say, Baruch Hashem, the Beitin did the right thing. What does that mean? Ad shetit baret sitkato. Shulchan Aruch doesn't spell it out. But you go one drop further and you see the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that even if he's not observant later, and he marries a Jewish girl, the Kedushin is Chal. So, so amorphous, so fluid. What's going on here? Look into the Shach, Sif Katan Chaf Gimel, and the Shach quotes the famous Gemara in Shabbos with Shammai and Hillel. This person comes lehitgayer, wants to be a Kohen Gadol and all the glory. Shammai kicks him out. Hillel accepts him. The Shach's words are unbelievable. Umikan yesh lumod shachol lefri ra'ot einei habetin. He's quoting the Beit Yosef. This is halacha lemaisa. When it comes to conversion, there's no black and white. A lot depends on the gut feeling of the Beitin, of the Rabbanim, of the Dayanim. There's no black and white here. You have to be guided by your gut instincts. And the whole picture, you know, someone comes to convert, you reach a conclusion, you know, this lady, there's a spiritual spark. Who knows what good will come out of her? Could be she'll explode as a total Jew, implode, I should say. Terrific lady. Right now, she's just beginning. Convert her. Could be. You see someone wanting to convert that's totally based upon an infatuation with a handsome man. The infatuation will wear off. She'll throw the whole darn thing away. The seichel of the Rabbanim here is crucial. Hold on. I'll come back to this. I just want to deal with the Ramah. The Ramah says something very, very important, and I'll give you the background. Ramah adds, Yisrael mumah shesa tshuva ein tzarich litbol. Rak the Rabbah, mi the Rabbanan, yesh lo litbol, ulekabel alav divrei chaverut lifnei gimel. What's the Ramah talking about? The Anusim, the Maranos. Maranos were forced to live as non-Jews. Outside they were Catholics, inside they were Jews. Until today we're discovering more Jews in Spain and Portugal. Conversion, what's going on? People who in their family, candles were lit Friday night, pork was never eaten, etc. It turns out that they're Zera Beit Yisrael, 100%. And if they want to come back, we welcome them, b'lev v'nefesh. There has to be a conversion because you can't be sure there wasn't intermarriage along the way. But 900, 800 years ago, Maranos came back, went to other countries. America's discovered Maranos, Holland, Dutch Indies, America, and they know they're absolutely Jewish. They want to come back. Do you require a conversion? Well, you know it's mother after mother after mother. If it's mother after mother after mother, absolutely no conversion is required. But still, psychologically, there's much written by the Tshuvot of that period, the end of the Rishonic period, the Tashbetz, the Rashbash, etc., those who dealt with the, were from the Sephardic world. Person comes back after 100 years of non-observance publicly, perhaps it's wise to have a ceremony. Why psychologically they should feel they're coming back, they should feel they can be at ease, and they should understand they're being makabel aleichem, the totality of Jewish experience. And this is what the Ramar is referring to. That neither Rabbanan was suggested that they do a muck conversion without a bracha, to go to mikveh with a beit din and to be makabel divrei chaverut. To be makabel divrei chaverut means to accept that I'm a chaver again, in the sense that Chazal used the word. Now, in modern Israel, this could have solved a lot of problems. And then we come to the problem that, how do Rabbanim have to appear in public? Do we just shout and scream, Yikov HaDin Etahar? Or do you try to do it in attractive public relations fashion? With the Ethiopians, this problem came up. And Rakefet, Halavai, would have Srara, people would listen to me. I said it in the class 30, 40 years ago. And I brought many sources. You don't require conversion. You call it Kabbalat Divrei Chaverut. It's the same act as a conversion. If they need the conversion, it's Tefillah B'Mikvah with a Beit Din. And this whole ceremony is because the Ethiopians are returning to the general Jewish existence, Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh. You have to remember that they separated from us before there was a formal Torah Shebaalpeh. I don't believe they had Hanukkah, I don't believe they had Purim, they certainly didn't have many of the Gezeirot, the Rabbanim, although they themselves, it's interesting, they had Gezeirot that went way beyond the halacha. I don't know if you're aware of it, but if a woman was in her period, they had a Beit Midrash, she lived out of the house. She pashut lived out of the house. We have hachakat, that man and wife, it shouldn't be the same bed, shouldn't hand things to each other. They totally separated. But they did not live with the totality of rabbinic tradition. So you see, this is the Ramah, Divrei Chaverut. When you look at it that way, then public relations-wise, no one can object. You're not saying they're not Jews. All we're saying is you're coming back to the totality of Jewish experience of Am Yisrael, Torah Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, to which they were very loyal. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, they were very, very loyal. And this would have solved a lot of public relations problems. I have to say that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very opposed. I never understood it. He insisted they need a full conversion. I think the Rechavrei Rut, which is a conversion, certainly fulfills all the requirements, but is done in a much more beautiful fashion, would have been infinitely better. Rav Avadji, of course, paskened, based upon the Radbaz, that they were absolutely Jews, that if they knew previous generations, mother after mother, they're Jews, no conversion, nothing needed. We could have found common ground that would have been a beautiful solution and solved a lot of difficulty. Okay, now, I want to introduce you to the source for the Shulchan Aruch. And you'll see here, it's absolutely gray. There is no black and white. The whole question of Gerut, how we approach it, how we do it, how we carry it out, what is the Shulchan Aruch talking about? And it goes back to the Mishnah Torah, it goes back to the Rambam. He is the one who outlined the words in this fashion, formulated them in this fashion, and until today, these three halachot that I'll quote, it is a challenge to us What does it mean on the ground? Black and white, halacha l'maisa. Shlemele, you come from Machon Lev. Machon Lev is science. Everything is black and white down to the last decimal. Right or wrong? This Rambam, just the opposite. Hilchat Isuri Bia, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Yud Dalet. I would say it's one of the most famous Rambams and one of the most difficult. Yud Gimel, beginning on Halacha Yud Dalet. They want to go through Yud Zayin. Baruch Atah Adonai Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh B'Dvaro. Ah, okay. It's a whole shaila with a bracha because I'm drinking it to wet the wolf vocal cords, but I mean, and the Rambam raises, he's dealing with two tremendous problems. Shimshim Hagibar. Who is he married to? A non-Jew? Delilah? Shlomo Melech Yisrael. Who was he married to? Non-Jewish women? Bat Paro. Quoting the Rama, Al Yalel Daitachasha Shimshon HaMoshiach Yisrael, O Shlomo Melech Yisrael, Shenikra Yedidja, Nasu Nashim Nakriyot Begiyusan? You shouldn't think that Shimshon Agiba, Shlomo HaMelech, married non-Jewish women. Ela sold hadava kachu. The secret of it is, I will now explain. And he goes on that when someone wants to convert, this is what we quoted from the Shulchan, what we quoted from the Gemara in Yevamot. Someone wants to convert, you have to question them and check out that they're not converting from ulterior motives. And ulterior motives can be fame, fortune, money, fear, whatever motivates that person. If it's not l'shem shamayim, we should not accept them. And halacha tetvav lefikach lo kiblu beitin gerim kol yemei David HaMelech v'shlomo HaMelech b'mei David shema min apachat chasru u'b'mei shlomo shema b'shvil hamalchot v'hatova hagdola shehayu bo Yisrael chasru. David HaMelech, why can't we accept them? David was a great warrior. David wasn't allowed to build the Beit HaMikdash. David killed so many people. Ah, David HaMelech, you can't accept them. They're converting out of fear for the military power of the Jewish people. It was like Moshe Dayan. People stood in awe of Moshe Dayan before the Yom Kippur War. David HaMelech, Moshe Dayan to the 10th power. And Shlomo, don't ask me, Rebbe, how can you mention David HaMelech and Moshe Dayan in the same breath? You should have been in Michlalar in 1971 and heard the talk of Rav Shlomo Minaha, the Rav of Bayit Vagan, Rav Shlomo Bergman, a giant of Torah. He said if Moshe Dayan would be from, he read the Rambam in Hilchot Malachim, could be he's Mashiach, said Cainan. Could you imagine? So you're frightened stiff. They want to convert. They're frightened. That's David HaMelech. B'mei Shlomo, Shemesh Shlomo, Malchit V'atova HaGadolah, Shlomo Yisrael Chasru. Oh my! What a good life in Israel. Beautiful weather. Spring is here. Wow. No rain for so many months. The food, wonderful. Ability to make a living, high tech, they're running after you. They're trying to get all the Ukrainians here to go into high tech. Ribbono shel Olam, what a good life. That's why you're converting? We don't accept them. Ah. And nevertheless, the Rambam has to admit, he's citing the Gemara, but this is historical fact. And even though there were all these reasons why you can't accept Gerim Bidei David Shlomo HaMelech, nevertheless, Apa Pikein Hayu Gerim HaBei Mitkayarim Bipnei David Shlomo Bipnei Chedyotot. There were tens of thousands of Gerim. All right, the Rabbanim went big lamdanim. They were hedyotot. No one says you have the beitin of Gedolei Yisrael. You have a beitin of three hedyotot. Right or wrong? I remember Rabbi Melech Shachter, Rabbi Heschel's father, coming into the Beis Medrash. I need two of you to help me make a beitin. There was a mikvah on Audubon Avenue, the Yekish Mikvah. And he was in the middle of a geirut. He needed a beitin. No, we were young kids. We were in Gedolei Yisrael, but all right, we were hedyotot, but we formed a beit din. Natan, that was one of the most embarrassing moments in my life, because the people who were converting, he was the president of the shul where I started teaching in 1959. I almost fainted on the spot. His wife and children were converting. It turned out, because of Israel and the problems here, and Brother Daniel, which is the forerunner of the Shalit case, he read in the New York Times that everything follows the mother. And if the mother did not have an Orthodox conversion, she would not be considered Jewish by the rabbinic establishment in Israel. And it dawned upon him, his wife's mother converted a Reform rabbi. And she needed conversion, the children needed conversion. And who was the Shlemazel who's brought in to be on the Beit Din? A young man who he hired to teach in the Talmud Torah of the newly organized synagogue. And I want to mention the community today. It's one of the most famous Orthodox communities in the world, outside of Israel. And there were all these converts. Ah, so what do you do? What do you do? They now came to the Beit HaGadol. Lamdanim b'fakim gedula Yisrael. What do you do? What did the Beit Hoshishim lahem? Lo dochinotan achashetavlu mikomakom v'lo mekarvim otan ad shetire achritam. Ah, this is the psak. This is the Shulchan Aruch. This is where he gets it from. That's what the Rebbe said to me with my conservative Shaila. They went to Beit Din. They went to Mikvah. There was a Beit Din. The Rebbe's exact words. He was paraphrasing that. Acha shetavlu mikom akom. Episab zegetan. Something they did. And you can't push them away. And yet, lo makadim otam, ad shetirach ratam, let me see if you'll ever become a Shemesh Shabbos. So look what you have here. Look what you have here. Are they Jewish? Aren't they Jewish? Is the conversion chal? Isn't it chal? Ad shetirach achritan. What does this mean? How do we know? What level do we need? So you see from here that the halachot of Geirut are the most flexible, amorphous, intangible, not black and white, of any halachot you can mention. This is where the Shulchan Aruch gets it. And if you go to Halacha Yud Zayin, he spells it out even more than the Ramah. V'choshishin lo atshit ba'at sitkato v'afilu chazar v'yovad avei dezara harehu ki Yisrael mishumad shekidushin kedushav kedushin u'mitzvah lahanzir avei dato me'acha shetaval nasek Yisrael. Yeah, unbelievable. Here the Ramah paskens, they're Jews. What happens if Henry Kissinger loses something? Do I have to return it or not? Henry Kissinger, a rotten, vicious, malicious, hideous, kind of toothless, depraved, degenerate, the mouth, repetitious, a picarus, born from a frum home, mother were a shaitel. I have eyewitnesses from the Germans in Washington Heights, Kilata Datashurin, father was the Gabbai. Mother, and he got married, his second marriage on Shabbos to Nancy, to quote Rav Yeruchim, as Amirskeit habe ich nicht in mein ganzen Leben gesehen. Mark, that's not, you cannot translate that, it loses context. Nancy, a chodsh, if you're going to eat chazer, Marilyn Monroe, as we spoke about. Nancy, and take a look at his Arichat Yomim, what's he hitting 100 today? I don't know. What became of him? Still a Jew. Return his Aveda. Smack Rakefet's face for maledicting him. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Natan. The Ger who converted because he loves Moshe Dayan. He loves that woman. So it's like a Jew. They're Jews. And the Rambam is off. Ulefikach kimu Shimshon uShlomo nishetehem. The afal pi sheniglas sodan. He comes back. The Rambam 3 halachot later. To what he said originally, the secret, the sod. Even though their secret was revealed, they were not that from. They were not Beis Yaakov girls, proverbial Beis Yaakov girls. We have plenty of frum girls here from the Ilpanot. Plenty of frum girls. Tzidkaniyot mamash. But they kept them. They're Jewish. And finally, let me end off. Halacha Yudchet. You can't forget about Halacha Yudchet and the Rambam. Natan, make up what you missed on the recording. Be sure. Umitneza amru chachamim kashelahem geirim li Yisrael kineged sorad. And this is why the chachamim put down the geirim. I mean, that's, it's open to debate. What Tosfos says. And I know many geirim who are tzaddikim, and their pshat is very simple. You know why geirim are kashel Yisrael? Because when you see how from they are, you say to Rakefet, how come you're not that from? Where's your beard? Your payas? How come you, Achveis, you eat your brachs on Pesach? But the Rambam takes a different shot. That Kashmir music at Sarat, Sherubam Chozrim Bishuldava Umatin et Yisrael, Vikasher Hadava lifrosh mehem achashinit gairu. Once they convert, you can't throw them out. And many are not from. Again, come back to Marilyn Monroe. Didn't she convert to Mary Arthur Miller? Elizabeth Taylor, I think, also converted along the way. She had a Jewish husband, Mike Todd, if I recall. That's a shtiyot from my youth, but these were well-known people. And Vilamadeng... whatever. She converted along the way. But by the way, Elizabeth Taylor was an Ohevet Yisrael. She did wonders for the state of Israel. So we have to speak with her with reverence fundraising and otherwise Frank Sinatra, etc. Tzeilumad ma'i rabbe midbaba ma'isak egel v'kivrot atava v'kein rov ha'nishyonot ha'asap suf ha'yu b'chem t'chila. That these converts who are not legitimate, who are not real, who are not sincere, we can't push them away, but they have caused great harm. And this is the Sach Meruv. Look at the state of Israel. It's the Asaf Suf. It's the Erev Rav among them. And by the way, the Sach Meruv could make a very strong case today. The Russian Jews, the Ukrainians, 40% not really Jewish. Erev Rav, Asaf Suf. Take a look what's going on here. And this is the Rambam, this is the Shulchan Aruch, this is Reb Menashe Klein. Halacha l'maisa, there is no topic I know of in Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch where the Rabbanim have to play a major role. We can't get black and white guidance. It's not like a shaila, you want to be machmir, make it here. It's your judgment, your instinct. And this is why, with the present Geirut question, I love what a guy named Aaron Rakefet said. I think he hit the nail on the head. If you have enough speakers, teachers that can inspire, go ahead and open up Geirut centers all over the country. Reach out. Tell them, you're here in Eretz Yisrael. You've now joined Am Yisrael, but you have to complete the Trinity, Torah Yisrael. And I believe with all my heart and soul that anyone who tastes Shabbat is not going to leave it. The statistics will show later a certain percentage did leave it. Yeah, but look at the percentage that accepted it. And that's the story I started to tell you last week, and my mind wandered to something else. Rabbi Yisrael Weiss, who was on the Beit Din that I formed as if the three missing in action were married, he was the Tatalof, Brigadier General, head of the rabbinate in the army, and he wrote a memoir afterwards. I know him personally, my family knows the family. Wonderful individual, but he got hurt very badly. He was chief rabbi at the time that they pulled us out of Gush Katif, and he was criticized why he didn't refuse to be part of it. The Gush Katif story with Arik Sharon, I wonder whether Arik Sharon doesn't have Erev Rav blood in him. It was a tragedy of tragedies. We suffer from it until today. We suffer from it from the point of view of security, and the money it costs us to keep the country secure because we left Gush Katif. And Gush Katif, he wrote the memoir and he tells a story that a Russian girl who was doing the army came before the Beit Din to convert after going through the course they have in the army, Nativ. And she was so inspiring that he had to excuse himself, and he went out into the hallway and he cried for 5 minutes. That's how inspired he was by what she said about her love of Shabbat and Kashrut, Tarat Mishpacha, and the Torah lifestyle. So this, I think, is halachically sound ground. If we have the manpower, and I don't know if we do, then go ahead. All right, what have we done today? All right, today was a very unique shiur, I have to tell you. Reb Menashe Klein, Mark, do me a favor, turn it into a movie. Put it up on social media, a reflection of the Jew in the year 2023. Could you imagine a Haredi family? The kid is going to be a Rosh Yeshiva, and he can't eat in his own house because it's Bishalakam and she touches the wine. He couldn't see, he doesn't go into great detail, but he couldn't see beyond Reb Moshe. He doesn't quote the Malamed Lahoyel. But obviously, he would have to delete him, negate him. My dear students, I'll finish the tshuva when we pick up again after Pesach. I'll pick up exactly where we left off. The Rav and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And from there, we move on to another shocking problem in Geirut that is part of the contemporary dialogue. Can you convert children who are katanim, even though their parents aren't from? And this problem also haunts us. It's part of the modern syndrome that we face. Then you have no idea what we're coming to. Those classes in the old days, I would charge, you would go on to the IO list. I'm giving you Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Anyone from Chicago has to be on the Zoom mark. Let them know when you go back for Pesach. Tomorrow, it's a very different day. It's a one-time shiur. I have to be able to finish everything within an hour and 40 minutes, which doesn't make me happy. But I don't have a choice. BMT, the institution that changed the Anglo-Torah world. It's a shiur of Hakarat Tov. I'm going to mention names, explain everything, put into the context of Chazal. And you should know, I hope Natan will one day write a book on what's happened, do a doctorate on the Anglo-Yeshiva in Israel. And this will give you a lot of information how it began. Time marches on. It's hard for me to believe. It's 69 and here we are, 2022. But thank God I'm alive and I can put it together. Okay, are there any questions on this side of the ocean? I just want to mention why you got its face smacked today in Sherry, I need your help afterwards. Why you got its face smacked in today's Jerusalem Post? It's an article that appeared in Jewish Week. And the headlines are terrible, rape allegation at Yeshiva University, etc. And it puts YU down. And I have to tell you, I have confidence in YU. What happened here, and they had it investigated, they didn't take action. I have to say it takes two to tango. We have halacha. And when a girl goes into yichud with a famous basketball player who's not from, understand it takes two to tango. And then what happens is, when you have a situation like that, all you have is her word against his word. That doesn't tell you anything. And evidently, that's what their investigation found. You'll see when you read the article that I'm probably hitting the nail on the head. But I want to defend YU. They're now taking steps. Again, what are girls doing uptown at the campus? But it's a different YU. In my time, any girl who would come uptown at the campus, Rabbi Yeruchim Yeruchim would go ballistic, an atom bomb would explode in the main academic center, and that would be the end of it. Today, I understand this. I was at YU a few years ago, and they honored me in Malta. We stayed there for 2 weeks, I believe. I was speaking all over, whatever. And I saw girls on campus. They explained to me they come to use the library. There's a gym there. There may be a basketball game. All right. I don't want to comment on YU today. I'm in Israel 53 years. I'm in a different world. I let Reb Heschel Shechter worry about it and the rest of the Rashi Yeshiva. But here I feel very bad because they imagine a headline in Jerusalem Post, rape. All right, you got to have a little seichel. Today, it's not my days when even a non-Jew understood that marriage is sanctified and one remains a virgin until marriage. That was a common understanding for Protestants and Catholics and Jews. Today, I don't have to tell you it's a different world. All right, so that's my comment, and I want to sign off here until we meet again in health. And Mark, get the world on until we meet again in health and happiness. Das Vedanya.
Taylor and Fisher?
What are you talking about, Taylor and Fisher?
Elizabeth Taylor.
And what was Fisher's first name?
Eddie
Fisher, could be. Okay, I see we have at least three continents on screen. I appeal to anyone who came in late to hear the whole shiur. I think I've related to all the correspondence. And again, we're very happy to see Rabbi Norm Schloss stay awake all night with a pacemaker. And we know now the secret of Coke and why we can drink it, and Rabbi Landau can. So, lezayin gesund and live and be well.
Living, in light of today's shiur, how do we interpret what Rabbi Norm Schloss
said? Wait, I can't hear it. Wait, I couldn't hear what he said. Then why the hell do we interpret?
Turn to the mic. We didn't hear it clearly.
Okay. In light of today's shiur, how do we interpret what says Megillas Esther?
Exactly the same thing. That lachatchila, they shouldn't have accepted them. But once they did, Beit Nishil had Yotot, they're Jews. And that's exactly the same thing. Thanks. That's a good support to the Rambam Shita. Got it? Accept it. Good support. By the way, Sherry, that's Atlanta, Georgia speaking, as if he's sitting next door. Are there any more questions? All right. Tomorrow, please be on time. I have to begin on time. And we have a collation after the special shiur. So maybe some of you can fly out of the screen from London and from Atlanta and from Flatbush and from various parts in Israel and join us for the collation. But Be'ezrat Hashem, please be with us. There are going to be more people tomorrow. Of course, it was publicized. I have to thank Sherry Levy, my right hand downstairs in the office, for helping us arrange it. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should bring cover to the memory of BMT and explain how that began and how Gris began. And I want to bring cover to Mr. Gris's memory. And until we meet again, in health and happiness, Das Vedanya.